Let me pray for us. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us, and we pray that as we think about what Jesus had to say, that you would speak to our hearts today. Please would you teach us, train us, and show us your will for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today we reach the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' Kingdom Manifesto. And as we've listened to his words, we've heard him tell us how we should live if we're citizens of God's kingdom. He's been doing that for the last three chapters, and we're at the end of that section of Matthew's Gospel now. And like every good preacher, Jesus finishes with a memorable punchline. He tells us to build our lives on his words, like a wise builder builds a house on solid ground. Have a look with me at verse 24 of our passage. Verse 24 on page 972. Jesus said, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock." Now, Jesus isn't giving us a crash course in civil engineering here. Each aspect of his story stands for something different. The house the man built stands for his life. The things he prioritizes, the things he values, the things he loves, and the things he does. The solid ground stands for Jesus' words. Yes, his words in the Sermon on the Mount, but also his words in the rest of the Gospel accounts, and all the words that God speaks by his Spirit through the whole of the Bible. The solid ground stands for all of God's words. And the rain and the wind stand for life's storms that batter us over the years. So the person who builds their life on the solid ground of Jesus' words will stand firm in their faith. But there's another man in this mini parable, isn't there? There's the foolish man. He stands for what Jesus calls foolish people. Those people who build their lives on something other than Jesus' words. Anything else at all. When they're hit by the storms of life, their faith, together with their eternal life, will come crashing down. So there's one point here that Jesus is making, and it's this. Build your life firmly and squarely on Jesus' words. And we're going to see how that affects our individual lives, how it affects our family lives, and how it affects our church life. So first of all, build our own individual lives on Jesus' words. And it's striking, isn't it, that Jesus says to build our lives on his words, not just on him. If we say we're going to build our lives on Jesus, not on Jesus' words, we'd come unstuck pretty quickly. Because without his words, we can't know who Jesus is. We can't know anything about him at all. In fact, I'd go as far as to say that without his words, Jesus is whoever we want him to be. Here's some options of who he could be if we don't listen to all of his words. He could be the sweet little baby in the manger that comes out at Christmas. He could be the kindly Galilean to look back on in history and admire. Perhaps the miracle worker who healed the sick. Maybe the man who told us to love our neighbour, particularly when we are the neighbour. The one who taught us to turn the other cheek and put that into practice when he was cruelly and unjustly crucified. We could think, without Jesus' words, that Jesus is the political radical who wants us to share all our belongings in some kind of hippie commune. Or we could think that he's the semi-mythical man who probably existed, but you know how they do, legends have grown up surrounding him. Without his words, Jesus is exactly who we want him to be. But it's his words that tell us who he is, that tell us why he came, and that tell us what he requires of us. He's the Son of God, who came into the world to take our sins away by his substitutionary death on the cross. And he requires us to live for him and for him alone, which is good for us, it's good for other people, and it glorifies God. But when we mess up, we know from his words that Jesus has fulfilled his own requirements for us. And he'll never leave us, but will guide us and eventually take us to be with him for all eternity. You see, Jesus' words give us the big picture so that when the storms of life come, we're not going to be knocked flat by them. So if we've built our life on Jesus' words, then when financial troubles come, we'll stand firm, knowing that we're rich in heavenly blessings that last into eternity. When we're let down by people, friends, family, even a spouse, we'll stand firm, knowing that Jesus is a faithful friend who's always at our side, closer than a brother. When someone close to us dies, we'll stand firm, knowing that it is the Lord who gives and the Lord who takes away, and know that one day our tears will be wiped away forever. When illness strikes, we'll stand firm knowing that in the new creation, there'll be no sickness or pain for the whole of eternity future. And when facing even our own death, we'll stand firm in the knowledge and the hope of resurrection. Jesus' words are solid ground. That doesn't mean it's a piece of cake for us to build our lives on them. Far from it. It requires heaps of God's grace, leading us into intentionally living for Jesus and repeatedly asking him to help us build ever more firmly on him. And by God's grace, we will stand firm, built to last the storms of life. And of course, there is that second man in Jesus's mini parable, isn't there? The foolish man. He built his house, his life, on the easygoing ground. It appears that he was good at building. The walls went up nicely. The roof went on, and at least to start with, seemed pretty watertight. Everything looks to be in order in his life. Perhaps he's got a good job with a healthy pension, a happy family, that nice house that he's built, and he enjoys memorable holidays. But he's built his house on the sandy ground. And here's the thing. As any gardener will know, as anyone who's ever been camping will know, finding that bit of soft soil to dig in or to stick your tent peg in is a jolly sight easier than trying to make use of the firm, long-lasting ground. I guess when the second man built his house, his life, he was the pragmatist. If it works, if it feels right, then it must be fine, mustn't it? And that's our world today, isn't it? It seems, if it seems good, then it must be whatever it is. Jesus said, love your enemies. Well, it'd be a lot easier, wouldn't it, to say, well, no thanks, that's crazy. How can I love people? Why would I want to love people that don't like me? Jesus says, don't go along with the sexual ethics of the world. No lust. We might say, don't be silly. What's wrong with living with your partner before you're married? And surely, can't people love whomever they wish to love these days? What about building up treasures in heaven rather than on earth? Well, we might say that that doesn't really provide very well for my children, does it? I need money so that I can send them on all of those wonderful activities that they love doing. And it would be good to leave them with a nest egg at the end of the day. Easy going ground. Well, if that's where we build our lives, then when the storms come, when we're made redundant, when our spouse dies, or when the family, the wider family, moves to the other end of the country and they're no longer around, when there's trouble at home, or when we move house out of the area and find ourselves further away from Christian friends and the church we used to, if we haven't firmly, intentionally, carefully built our lives on Jesus' words, lived as he says he would have us live, then we'll be blown away. Our faith in Jesus just won't stand. If you're wondering what it would look like to build our lives on Jesus, on his words, then just think back to the last time you heard Jesus' words, maybe in the Sermon on the Mount, maybe somewhere else, and you thought, oh, I don't like that. That's quite hard, isn't it? That's difficult. Well, to build our lives on Jesus' words, at that point would be to say, well, that's what Jesus thinks. I'm going to shift my life so that I'm building on what he thinks. And like the man in the gospel accounts, I'll pray to him, forgive my unbelief, help me to believe more. Build our lives on Jesus' words. Secondly, build our family life on Jesus' words. Now, here I'm primarily talking to myself and to other parents. But if you're not a parent, or if your children have left at home and gone away some time ago, then please do keep listening because you can pray for us. But it seems like a sensible implication of this mini parable that if we build our family life on Jesus' words, then we're doing our kids the biggest favour that we ever could. And we're giving them the best start in life that they could possibly have. And that goes right against what we're encouraged to do in 21st century Holland, the East Riding, isn't it? Our world around us tells us all sorts of things. It tells us to build our family life around education. The number of times I've heard how expensive houses are within a stone's throw of the best school of the area. We're told to make sure that our kids' lives are built around those extracurricular activities. Dance, sport, music, acting, anything they really like doing. We're told to make memories for them. Go on holidays that they'll never forget. Outings that are better than the last one they went on. Allow them to make their own minds up about Jesus. Don't talk to them too much, and certainly don't encourage them too hard to come to church, we're told, because we might just put them off. And we're told to let them decide who they want to be as they grow up, particularly in the area of gender and sexuality. All this, we're told, will lead to a happy family life and well-balanced, fulfilled children. Jesus says, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. It did not fall because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. It will fall with a great crash. Liz and I are just at the stage of applying to primary schools for Joshua. Please pray for us that as we build his life, our family life, on the solid ground of Jesus, that our first priority would remain that he grows up to love and to serve Jesus for himself, that he'll build his life on that solid ground of Jesus' words. It'd be very easy for us to build Joshua's life, build our family life on something other than that, because that's what the noise from out there is telling us all the time. Please do pray for us and other families. Build our own life on Jesus' words. Build our family life on Jesus' words. Finally, build our church life on Jesus' words. And I don't really want to add too much to what Steve said last week. If you weren't here, then please do log on to the website, andlibbychurches.org.uk, and listen to what he said, because it's probably one of the most important sermons of the year. But I think it's enough to say that the same principle stands for church as it does for our own lives and our families. If we build our church on the solid ground of Jesus' words, then our church will stand. You might be thinking, well, what on earth might we build our church on other than Jesus' words? And that's a really good question. But what if the next Archbishop of York, whoever they may be, is unclear on who goes to heaven, for instance? Perhaps they'll think that it's not just those who trust in Jesus. What if the Church of England changes its teaching on marriage to include same-sex marriage? What if the state requires the Church of England to carry out those same-sex marriages? Or says that we can't say that Jesus is the only way to heaven because that's just too offensive to everyone else? It would be easy to go along with the flow, wouldn't it? To build our church on whatever the wider church or the wider world around us says. But that would be building on sandy ground. It would be foolish in the extreme. Most of the Anglican Church in Wales has been unclear on many of those issues for some years now. And the report came out just last week saying that the total membership of the church in Wales has fallen to the equivalent of the size of the small Yorkshire market town of Pontefract. 30,000 people in the whole of the church in Wales. And the church in Wales, the report said, better be getting ready for complete closure. Wherever a church fails to build itself on Jesus' words, it declines and it dies. If we in Anlaby Common, Anlaby Park, build our church firmly and squarely on Jesus' words, then when the storms come, and they're surely coming, we'll stand firm. Build our own lives on Jesus' words. Build our family lives on Jesus' words. Build our church on Jesus' words. And as we close, Jesus' kind warning. You see, it's very possible to look like a good, strong house, to look religious, to know all the right answers, to be confident in church, and yet, tragically, to have built our lives on something other than Jesus' words. Jesus is very clear. Look with me at verse 21. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And what's the will of his Father who's in heaven? Well, it's verse 24, isn't it? Hearing Jesus' words and putting them into practice. Paul, at the end of 2 Corinthians, writes this: examine yourselves to see whether you are still in the faith. Test yourselves. You see, we can suffer from foundation creep. We can start out well, but unless we're intentionally, deliberately building our lives, our families, our church, on Jesus' words, we're in danger of digging into the easygoing, sandy ground. So we need to examine ourselves, and the wardens and the church council need to continually examine the church's foundations. Are we safe on the solid ground? Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. It did not fall because it had its foundations on the rock. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your clear teaching in this passage. We thank you that you are completely clear with us that we must build our lives on your words. Please give us the grace to do so. Please change our wills, change our hearts, that we would build on your words and nowhere else. And please protect us from foundation creep. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.